believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Vernon, British Columbia, Canada, was a professional hockey goalie for 9 years, and played in 4 games in the NHL. He's been with the Detroit Red Wings organization for 25 years as a player, scout, general manager, executive vice president, and governor. For the last 10 years, he has arguably been the most successful general manager in all of professional sports. His name, Ken Holland. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Ken Holland, the executive vice president, general manager, and governor, whatever that means, of the Detroit Red Wings hockey organization. Ken, welcome. Honored to have you.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here with you, Jack.
What is a governor?
Well, a governor means that I can represent the Detroit Red Wings at Board of Governor meetings, ownership meetings, basically, so that when Mr. Ilitch can't attend or does attend, I can attend with him.
Are you thinking of running when Jennifer rolls out this last term?
Yeah. No, I'm very lucky that I've got wonderful people to work with, and I love my job.
Can we start by talking about your childhood
yeah. And
your parents?
Well, I was born in Vernon, British Columbia, and given away my age, 1955. My dad was Riney Holland, my mom Lee. My dad worked for the BC Hydro. He was a truck driver. He loved sports. My dad was one child of 11, and you know, it was hockey in the winter, it was baseball in the summer, and you know, I remember growing up when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, my dad played slow pitch, softball. I used to go to all the games. I can remember watching him hit and just you know, kind of wherever my dad went to sports, I was there with him. And then at about, I'd say 7, 8 years of age, I took up sports, and my dad dropped everything that he did. He was into bowling, he was into softball, and everything was being at either the rink or the baseball diamond with me. And my mom was at home. She was a homemaker. Obviously, I'm one of three children. So she was at all the events too, supporting all of us children.
What did you learn from your mom, Ken, and what did you learn from your dad?
Well, from my dad, hard work. You know, I can remember many, many times being at the rink or at the baseball diamond, and my mom would be at home, and a call would come in, say for overtime, and you know, there might be, let's say there was an electrical storm and the power was down. My dad dropped everything. If there was some money to be made for the family, you know, again, my mom would say, you know, my dad was out in the garage or something. She would jump in the car, drive down to the baseball field. My dad would jump. He would jump in the car, race home, put his work clothes on, and go off to work. And my dad worked hard, but he had fun. You know, he worked from 8 to 4, and he loved his job, but he loved to have fun. He loved to be at the baseball park. And you know, my mom was the same time. I mean, I still think my mom's name is Lee. She could have been Grandma Lee. You know, she was she loved to bake, loved to cook. And, you know, sometimes I say to my mom, like, she vacuums the house every day. It's just lots and lots of, between the two of them, lots and lots of hard work. But again, with my dad, he loved sports.
Every kid in Canada wants to play hockey. That's the dream. You're 18. You sign with the Vernon Vikings as a goalie.
Yeah.
Why a goalie?
Well, you know what, Jack, I can remember when I was about 9 or 10, I was a skater, and somebody, a team needed a goal. I put on the goalie equipment, and I enjoyed it, and I can remember playing goal, and I played in all the travel teams. You know, Pee Wee, which is 10, 11, and 12, Bantam, which is 13 and 14, Midget, which is 15 and 16. I was on the travel teams. My dad was always he was the organ. He was the general manager of all our teams. The travel and you know, at 18, the Vernon I played hockey for the local Vernon Junior team, and then my dad ended up becoming a scorekeeper and at all the junior games. So I guess I just kind of became a goalie because there was a need for that, for somebody in that position.
You played organized. You played professional hockey for 9 years.
Yeah.
It was 6 or 7 years before you ever got in an NHL game. You only got in four.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hartford Whalers in 80-81 bring you up, and you play in New York. One game. Tell us about that game.
Well, I can remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I played so long. I was looking for an opportunity on a Saturday night. Hartford played at home against Washington. John Garrett, who now is on TV with CBC Hockey Night in Canada, was the goaltender. He played. We lost to Washington 7-3. The next night we played in New York against the Rangers. Game was about an hour before the game. Coach Don Blackburn called me in the back room and asked me if what I thought about playing that night. My heart was going 100 miles an hour, and I said, I'm ready to go. If you need me, I'm ready to go. He threw me into the game, and I can remember after the first period we were up, I think it was tied 1-1. They had about 15, 16 shots, and I thought to myself that I'm ready to be in this league. And they scored 5 goals on me in the second, and I think they had one more in the third. We lost 7-3. And I can remember with about 9 minutes to go in the game, Nick Fatio took a wrist shot. Puck hit the glass is broken, and I can remember taking my glass off and looking around. I think we were down about 7-2 and saying to myself, am I ever going to get back to the NHL again? This might be the greatest day of my life, and I better enjoy it. And I love to play hockey, and it's a night I'll never forget.
Then they send you back to Binghamton, and eventually, 3-4 years later, the Red Wings bring you up. You play 3 more games.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I played so many few games. I remember them all. I was at Steve Yzerman's first year in training camp was my first year in the Red Wing organization. So I guess that's part of my claim to fame, is coming in the same time as Steve Yzerman. And I was in the minor leagues, and I got called up, and I remember playing on for the 3 games for the Detroit Red Wings. And the last game I played, I think it was a 6-6 tie, and we were up about 6-3 with 8 minutes to go, and the pucks were going in. And I kind of knew that was the end. You know, you only get so many opportunities in life, and you have to grasp them. And I didn't take full advantage.
9 years in professional hockey, 4 NHL games. Ken, did you ever think about quitting?
No, I never. I would love to have played. I loved playing hockey. I loved the competition. I enjoyed the lifestyle. You know, I made great friends. And you know, you're doing. I think anytime you can do something that you love every day, I'm lucky. I probably have never worked in a day in my life, so never ever thought about quitting. Loved it too much.
We're talking to Ken Holland. When we come back, we'll ask him when he retired, what job his mom suggested he take up to raise a family. I'm Jack Grisula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're talking to the most famous person ever from Vernon, British Columbia, Ken Holland. Ken, you retire, you're married, you have a couple children, and you have a conversation with your mom, and she tells you, son, here's what to do with your life.
Well, Jack, I'd played 9 years of pro hockey. I got a call in early May from Jimmy Devolano, who's the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, telling me that my contract had expired and they weren't going to re-sign me. We're in Vernon, British Columbia for the summer. We've got 3 children. My wife's a nurse, so we're all set for the summertime. I'm working at the Vernon Liquor Store. It's a government job. It's a nice summer job. My wife's working at the hospital, so we're financially secure for 4 months. We're in good shape. We've got a nice little apartment. And now I'm obviously starting to wonder what I'm going to do for the next hockey season. And I've got an agent. Nothing's really happening. And gets to be about late May, early June. And Cindy and I, my wife, are discussing the possibility that if I don't get another hockey job, Cindy was going to continue to work as a nurse. We were going to live in Vernon for a couple more years. I'd go to Okanagan College and then eventually go to University of British Columbia and try and get some kind of a I like numbers, business degree. My mom sort of catches wind, and one day Cindy has got her three children, I think, at the pool or something, and my mom gets me out in the back deck, and she says, you know, Ken, what are you thinking about doing if hockey doesn't work out? And so I tell her about possibly going to school, and she says to me, Ken, you've got three children, you're the provider of the family, you need a job. And I says, well, Mom, I've got grade 12 education, all I know is hockey. If I can't get a hockey job, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. And my mom told me that she had just looked in the Vernon News and she thought she had found the perfect job for me. She thought that I had a gift to gab, and she said that in the Vernon News there was an advertisement that the Electrolux vacuum cleaners were looking for a vacuum cleaner salesman in that area. She had called the 800 number, and the job was still open, and I think it was about $300 a vacuum cleaner at the time, and I think one-third went to the salesperson. So she told me that I was going to be her first sale. She thought that was a perfect job for me, and I was going to be her first sale. And she talked to my Grandma Eastbrecht, who was my mom's mom, lived five doors down, and she said Grandma Eastbrecht was going to be my second sale. So I started to think this vacuum cleaner sales job wasn't a bad business. I've already kind of sold two. So I said, Mom, any idea of the state of Aunt Emma's vacuum? Aunt Emma lived two doors down. And then she said, well, you know, Aunt Emma likes to watch the money kind of tight. I'm not sure if we can squeeze Aunt Emma, but we can certainly get you over there. So I started to think about, I've kind of cleaned out the family with vacuum cleaners. That's when I started to think that, you know what, I don't know if I've kind of got the gift of gab to go door to door. And as it turns out, about a week later, Jack, Jim Devolano and Neil Smith, Jimmy D was the general manager of the Red Wings, Neil Smith was the chief scout. They called me. They were looking for a scout in Western Canada.
You could have been the Amway in Western Canada, you know?
Yeah.
So they hire you as a scout. Talk about the life in the typical day of a hockey scout in Western Canada.
Well, you're on the road a lot. You know, you've got a lot of territory to cover. We took the job and moved to Medicine Hat, Alberta. I went there because that's where I played junior hockey. That's where I met my wife. And a lot of my wife's family was around there. So we knew there was going to be a lot of travel. My territory was from Portland, Oregon, to really Winnipeg, Manitoba. And you know, you're just on the road. You get up, you leave the house, and I used to kind of schedule, you know, 8, 9, 10 day road trips, jump in the car and you drive 4 or 5 hours, you'd watch a game, you know, put in your reports, wake up the next morning and jump in the car and drive 4 or 5 hours, and you know, you continually go to hockey games and you put in reports. And you know, you need to have a great wife, which I'm fortunate to have, because you're not around a lot. You miss a lot with your family, but certainly it was a great way to make a living because I loved hockey, but you're away from your family a lot.
1983 was a great year for Mike and Marion Ilitch. They met this man, Ken Holland, and they met a kid named Steve Yzerman. Talk about Steve Yzerman.
Well, I can remember being on the ice the very first training camp. Steve was here, and you knew he had tremendous. You know, again, I can remember the feeling. You know, when you go to camp, you hear lots about young players. This guy was special. He just he could skate. He could do it all. And he had a funny name with a lot of funny letters. And you know, right from the first day on training camp, you knew he was going to be a special player. And after being around the organization for a lot of years, you know, for me, the reason people are really successful, Jack, is the intangibles. It's your work ethic, your passion, your commitment. And Steve has an incredible passion for the sport of hockey. He's a tremendously hard worker. There's a lot of sacrifice. It's about sports. If you get to know Steve, his family's number one, hockey's number two. And I think that's one of the reasons. Obviously, he was gifted with a lot of ability, but you add in all those intangibles, and I think that's why he was the player that he was.
I think his last name, Yzerman, in Scrabble is worth 86 points.
Probably could be, yeah.
He's the longest serving captain in the history of professional sports.
You know, he led by example. You know, Steve had the gift to know as a captain. He didn't have a lot of, you know, he's not a rah-rah guy, but there were times. I can remember the year when we played Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs in 2002. We lost the first two games at home, and we flew it to Vancouver. you know, great expectations. That was our that was our Hall of Fame team with Hull and Robitaille and Yzerman and he goes on and Chelios and Hasek and Lidstrom and after practice in Vancouver, day off between games 2 and 3, basically kicked everybody out, the coaches, everybody. It was a players only meeting, and you know, when I talked to the players after, I mean, the message was very simple: we got a real good team, stick to the plan. It's how got us here in the first place. And I just thought from that point on, our team got the focus and the confidence back, found a way to win game 3, and I think that was the turning point, and that's going on winning the Stanley Cup. So he just had a gift to know when to talk. He didn't talk a lot, but he knew when to talk, and he led by example.
Your current captain, Nick Lidstrom, spit an image.
Same image. And I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about at the very first training camp 2 years ago when Steve wasn't there is that we've all been very, very fortunate to have been in the presence of a tremendous leader. And we all should have had an opportunity to have learned a lot. And I think that Nick Lidstrom and everybody, we all got an opportunity to learn under Steve Yzerman, and Nick leads by example. Again, he doesn't say a lot, but he knows the right time when to say something, and you know, he leads every day by example, and he's the best player at practice and at the games.
When we come back, we'll ask Ken Holland about another legend, Scotty Bowman. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with the best-dressed man in all of hockey, Ken Holland. Ken, you've said that Scotty Bowman was the best mind in all of hockey.
Without a doubt. I mean, what an honor for me, an opportunity for me to be able to spend all the years that I spent with Scotty. The way he analyzed the game, his passion for the game, you just look at his record, but you know why he wins after being with him. You know, I'll give you a couple of little stories. In 1998, we were playing the Dallas Stars in the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Series is tied 1-1. I'm a rookie general manager. Morning of game 3, Red Wings skate at home in Detroit at 10:30. Road team skates at 11:30. He calls me to come down to the rink at 12:15. It's just he and I out by the bench. We're looking at the overhead clock. ESPN has an overhead camera to get an overhead view. And he tells me he wants that camera down because that camera is advantage Dallas. And he says to me that when the Dallas defensemen, Hatcher and Matvichuk, who play 30 minutes a game, are under pressure, they shoot the puck off the glass and out into the neutral zone. When the Red Wing defensemen, who play 30 minutes a night, Larry Murphy and Nick Lidstrom are under pressure, we flip the puck high in the air. The puck is going to hit the overhead camera. There's going to be a face-off in the Red Wings zone. Dallas is 58% on the face-off. The Red Wings are 51% on the face-off. Odds that Dallas is going to win the face-off and get a scoring chance. That camera is advantage Dallas, and he wants it down. So I didn't really do much, and within 5 minutes, there was ABC people, ESPN people there. Next thing I know, I come up to the game at 7:15 at night, and the camera is down. It was his attention to every little detail to give his team every opportunity to win.
Did you ever see him smile?
No, he didn't smile too much, but, you know, and he never slept. I mean, Danny Blatt, our pro scout, mentioned one time he was with him for 10 years and never saw him yawn. I mean, his energy level, I think, you know, the great people have better, they're just, like, he has better energy level. He's 74 right now, and you'd think he was 54. I mean, he's got incredible energy level. I think now, he didn't smile. He didn't want anyone to be comfortable. He wanted to keep all his players, you know, he got the most out of him. He didn't want anyone to be at ease.
When we come back, we'll talk about another legend with Ken Holland, Tim Codd.
A legend in his own mind, Jack.
Just joking. This is Jack Krasula on Anything is Possible.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with the Executive Vice President, General Manager, Governor of the Detroit Red Wings organization, Ken Holland. Ken, you and Scotty have loved experience and age.
You know, that's I really learned that from Scotty. You know, I can remember in 1995 or 96 at the trade deadline, I think it was 1995, Scotty acquired Slava Fetisov for a third-round draft pick from the New Jersey Devils. Slava Fetisov was about a 36-year-old defenseman. He was up in the press box. He wasn't even playing for the New Jersey Devils. And I thought to myself, what is Scotty doing trading a third-round draft pick for this old player that can't even play regular New Jersey? Scotty brings him in, puts him right into the lineup. That was the year, actually, we went to the finals. We lost to New Jersey in the Stanley Cup Finals. The next year, he acquired Igor Larionov, puts together the Russian Five. And that really allowed us to go on to win the two championships in 97 and 98. And really, I think that's who we are today. You know, so the thing I learned from Scotty is don't worry about birth certificates. Only worry about if they can play or can't they play. And the one thing that veteran players do, they know the league. They're not going to, you know what you're going to expect. With young kids, they can play great, they can play bad. And Scott, if you're going to win championships or compete for championships, you need to know every night what you're getting out of your team.
There was a guy in football, George Ellen, in the 70s and 80s,
yeah.
The Rams and the Redskins. He never wanted a rookie.
No.
So he would trade for all these veterans, and he'd give the 2012 seventh-round pick and the 2013 fourth-round pick. And then when it was 2012, two, three teams claimed they had the pick.
So. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think there's a fine line between having a veteran team, but I think you also need to have youth on the back end. Youth, the young players bring enthusiasm. They bring energy. They bring young legs. And, you know, I think the veterans feed off the kids, but at the same time, and the kids learn from the veterans. And I think that I really like our team this year. You know, I think we've got a nice blend of youth and experience, but I really think you need to have a real veteran presence on your team if you want to compete for a championship.
Anybody that knows Ken Holland knows the word passion. You love passion. Talk about passion.
Well, I guess, you know, I use the word passion. To me, passion is loving what you do. You know, I mean, anybody that knows me, Jack, I mean, I like to talk about three things. I love to, you know, family, hockey, and golf. And other than that, you're going to have a hard time getting a con. But, and I love, you know, when it comes to hockey, you know, I bump into some people sometime and they'll say, you don't want to talk hockey. I love to talk hockey. I can talk hockey from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed, day after day after day after day. Scotty Bowman can, Steve Yzerman can, my assistant general manager, Jim Neal, can. I just think that passion to me means you love what you do and it's never work. And I think that if you go to work and it's a job, at some point in time, you're going to lose your energy. You're going to lose your enthusiasm for what you do. And Mike Babcock's got passion. I mean, it's day up. You got to love what you do. And Jack, I'm sure you know you love what you do. And I think that's when you get the most out of people, is when you got someone that absolutely loves what they're doing.
2002, you had 10 future Hall of Famers on that team. And Scotty and you got them to leave their egos at the door. How did you do that?
Well, I think it's really a credit to Scotty and Steve Yzerman. You know, putting that team together, Jack, in the summer of 2000, and, you know, in April of 2001, we lost to the LA Kings in the first round of the playoffs. Question is, now what do you do with the team? I mean, we'd won in 97, 98. Do you dismantle? Do you go younger? And ultimately, we, you know, talking to Mr. and Mrs. Ilitch and Scotty and all our staff, we decided that we should try to be aggressive. And I went to Steve Yzerman, and we had some people. We acquired Robitaille, we acquired Hull, we acquired Hasek. I ended up going in the summertime. We were way over budget. I ended up going to Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman agreed to basically defer $500,000 of his salary a year out. Shanahan did as well. Lidstrom did as well. Chelios did as well. You know, I think right off the bat, that shows you the commitment. They wanted to add other good players to try to win. And then, you know, what Scotty Bowman did, he brings in, I'll give you an example. He brings in Brett Hull, who's been an offensive player throughout his career. First thing that Scotty does, Scotty puts him on the penalty kill. And he's showing confidence in Brett that he can kill penalties. He's getting Brett more ice time. And ultimately, I think because of the sacrifice, because of the, Scotty's got all the championships, you know, everybody followed in line.
Talk about Mr. I, Mike Ilitch.
Well, I think we've got the best owner in all of professional hockey and maybe all of professional sports. And we just talked about the word passion. Mr. Ilitch has incredible passion. for the city, for his team, both teams, and for the sport. You know, he cares. He wants to know what's going on with the team, and it's about trying to put everything is about trying to put the best product that we can on the ice. You know, whenever I know in my 10 years of general manager, I've never gone to Mr. Ilitch. If I want to spend some money, never been turned down. If it makes sense and it's about winning and being more competitive and putting a better product on the ice, he's 100 for it. He's 100% for it. You know, he's almost at every home game. He loves the team. He loves the city. I've been very, very fortunate to work for an owner like Mr. Ilitch.
When your wife Cindy has wanted to spend money, have you ever turned her down?
Unfortunately, I've had to turn her down a little bit, yeah.
You win the Stanley Cup for the first time in 1997. Share that experience.
Well, for me, growing up it was an incredible, you know, you can hardly put it into words. You know, I give you a little bit. You know, when I was 18 years of age, we talked about in Vernon, you know, I was playing, I was the backup goalie for the Vernon Vikings. I played, I think, 10 games. I was 18 years of age. I went to Medicine Hat Tigers camp, and all I really wanted to do was basically steal a Tigers jersey. And I wanted to go home, and I kind of watched the way the trainer we had. I hung on for about a week, and I ended up got into the black orange game, put a Tiger jersey into my briefcase duffel bag, made the team, gave the jersey back to the trainer at the end of the trainer gave it back to me. So I was a guy that was fortunate to have been involved in pro hockey. I was within a whisker of maybe spending my entire life in Vernon working for Nokoderry or figuring something out. So to have won the Stanley Cup in 1997, and everybody gets it for a couple of days. I took it back home to Vernon. I can remember the morning, we woke up in the morning, my mom, dad, and I, and we had breakfast, and we had the Stanley Cup on the kitchen table in the middle of us. And really, for me, having the Stanley Cup there was my way of giving back to my dad and mom all the years that they had sacrificed, getting up early in the morning and going to the rink. We then took it to the Vernon Minor, to the Vernon rink, put it on display. Local people could come in and have a picture with it. You know, we had a party in my backyard. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in my backyard, people that we knew. So it was an incredible experience for me.
You win that cup for the first time, and then a week later, the tragedy, middle of the afternoon after a golf outing, the limo on Woodward, Vladimir Konstantinov, what a future he had, the trainer, Sergei. Talk about that experience.
Well, I can remember it was a Friday night. Cindy and I had gone to the Fox Theater. We were at something was going on. I got home about 11:30. I don't think cell phones were around then. The phone had run, you know, there were some messages. Got a phone call from Jimmy D asking me if I had heard about the accident, that some of our players were involved. We didn't really know who was involved in the accident, but we knew that there was a limo accident. And as the night wore on, started to hear about, obviously, Sergei Manatsikhanov, Slava Fetisov, and we're in the car accident. We ended up going to the hospital about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and all three, Vladdy and Slava and Sergei, were all seriously hurt, spent the night at the hospital. And obviously 1 week is you're at the highest high, and a week later you're at the lowest low. It was a tremendous tragedy for our entire organization.
10 years later, how's Vladdy doing and how's Sergei doing?
Vladdy comes to quite a few of our games. He's around town, Jack. He's got someone that brings him to our games. I know the players that have been here are happy to see him. I'm excited to see him. He sits up in Mrs. Ilch's suite when he comes to games. Sergei Manatsikhanov, I haven't seen as much. He spends the winters in Florida. But come playoff time, Sergei usually shows up.
Don Cherry, if the officials from the CBC are listening tonight, you better watch out. Your future is limited. We're with Ken Holland. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Ken Holland, who over the last 10 years has arguably been the most successful general manager in all of professional sports. And the highest paid, too, Ken. You and Stevie both came in 83. The team was known as the Dead Winks. They were perennial losers. They were worse than the Cubs, or as bad as the Cubs, as bad as the Lions. Now, arguably the most successful organization, how did you transform that organization?
Well, I think the two people that are most responsible are Mr. Ilitch and Jim Devolano. Mr. Ilitch's first hire was Jim Devolano. Jimmy D was the assistant general manager of the New York Islanders. He brought him to Detroit. Jimmy D oversaw the drafting of the New York Islanders, and they went on and obviously won. They had a dynasty in the island. So Jimmy D came to Detroit with a commitment that he wasn't going to trade draft picks. He was going to draft. He was going to develop. He obviously drafted Steve Yzerman. That was the beginning. So, you know, Mr. Ilitch, Jimmy D, Steve Yzerman, that really was the beginning of the Red Wings. And then through drafting, obviously Probert and Kosher showed up. Blue collar town. We're starting to win. It's competitive hockey. Jock Demers comes in and he's fiery and he's throwing glasses and he's got the sport coat going. And all of a sudden there's a pizzazz at the Joe. Mr. Ilitch is giving away a car at every home game to get the fans down to the Joe. So, you know, over a 4 or 5 year period, those people were really the beginning of putting hockey back on the map in Detroit.
Let's talk about the Red Wing fans.
Well, I think we've got, you know, we're lucky. I think Red Wing fans are the most passionate fans in all of sports. You know, when we go on the road, you know, there's so many players, I mean, fans wearing Red Wing jerseys, our white, our red. You know, our bus pulls out, they're out there and they're giving us a wave and showing their support. You know, you come to the Joe and you think, I don't know, was it almost 10 years that we've had sellout crowds, and I really believe if the economy was better, we'd continue to have sellout crowds. The emotion in the building, you know, the Red Wing fans have been a big part of the success of Hockey Town.
There's rumors that Dancing with the Stars is trying to take Mo Cheese away from us. Any truth?
He'd be a good competitor.
Bill Walsh was a legendary general manager coach for the San Francisco 49ers. You know, he got all these Montanas, Roger Craigs, Ronnie Lotz, et cetera, Jerry Rice. And after 9 or 10 years, he quit because his sons, you know, his boys started to get long in the tooth and he didn't have it in them to let them go and start over. You've watched a lot of your sons. You've had to go tell your sons, I'm sorry. It's time.
That's a real hard part of the job. I guess, Jack, ultimately what I try to do is take the emotion out of your decision-making process because, you know, you really get emotionally attached, especially when you've had success, you know, when you've won with people. And I would say to you, for you know, in my time in Detroit, there's been a group of players that as chief scout I've drafted, and they really were my sons, you know, Chris Osgood, Jamie Pusher, Martin LaPointe, Slava Kozlov. You know, they're players that I was out and I was the final decision maker when we drafted them. And I got to know them when they were 18 years of age. And Darren McCarty. And you watch them grow into young men and eventually Red Wings and help you win championships. And then there's the superstars. And, our 0-2 team, you know, like I said, had 10 Hall of Famers. It's hard to tell somebody either through a contract negotiation or by not offering them a contract that you're basically telling them that you don't think that they can help you anymore. And that's the most difficult part of the job for me. And I can remember one of the first trades I ever made. We drafted Jamie Pusher in the second round. He was out of Lethbridge. I was in Medicine Hat, which was an hour and a half down the road, and watched Jamie grow into a, you know, 2 years a junior, grow into a pro, and traded him at the trade deadline to Anaheim. And it was calling him into the back room was awful. He was proud to be a Red Wing, loved to play hockey. Ultimately, again, that's right. You got to get the emotion out of the decision because you got to try to make the best decision you can for the team.
Chris Chelios, outside of Chicago, Mount Carmel High School, going to be 46 years old this month.
Well, he's unbelievable, Jack. I mean, he loves the game. Talk about passion. I mean, he's got as much passion for the game of hockey as anybody I know. He's one of the first guys at the rink this morning. I was at the rink. He's there at 9:30. He's one of the last to leave. We ended up having to redo our sauna. He likes to take a stationary bike into the sauna. We had to build a TV screen in the sauna. He likes to ride a stationary bike in the sauna. I think if most people rode the stationary bike at a high speed in the sauna, we'd probably have heart attacks at 45 years of age. He loves to play hockey. He loves to be on the ice. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's still playing this game at 50.
Wow. Your world changed dramatically 2 years ago with the NHL's new salary cap. A lot of people in this town are having to make major transformations in their life. How did you do that? What advice would you give to the listeners?
Well, I you know, ultimately it's about making real difficult decisions. You know, you can't, you know, we in the old CBA, Jack, we could spend $70 million. We could afford to have all the luxuries, you know, and players. And now we've got to make harder decisions. And I think that, you know, you still can have success, but, you know, you can't afford the little luxuries in life. And you know, I think the other thing for us, it's been a lot of good people. It's you know, a successful organization, you know, off the ice, it's about 8 or 10 or 12 real good people doing a lot of different things for the team. And that's, I think, the reason why we've had our success.
What, we're halfway through this season. What do you expect the rest of the year?
Well, we really like our team. Obviously, we got the best record in the league. You know, we got to continue, obviously, to grow as a team. Everyone's going to get better. I think we've got some young players that can get better. You know, I think the biggest thing that as you head into the playoffs that we worry about every year is you'd like to go into the playoffs healthy. And, you know, I think about 1997 when we won the Stanley Cup, Joe Koscher missed one game with the flu. Other than that, we were healthy. You know, last year before the playoffs started, we lost Cronwell, we lost Schneider in the San Jose series. You'd like to win or lose with your best, or at least start the playoffs with your best. So hopefully we can grow as a team and at the stretch run have good health.
Your executive vice president, general manager, governor, what do you do all day, Ken?
You know what? In gather information. You know, I think that you know, I'm around the coach. I travel with the team. You know, I want to know what's going on with our players. I'm there. I talk to the players. I talk to our scouts, our pro scouts, our amateur scouts. You have agents. You know, you know when you negotiate a contract, they take time. People just see that all of a sudden one day you've signed somebody, and it maybe appears it's taking you a day or two. Sometimes a contract negotiation takes you weeks and months. So it's a lot of research. Every decision we make is critical. So I think that when you make a decision, you want to make sure that you've looked at every possible scenario. You've got all the information you can. You make the best decision that you can, then you don't look back.
How many hockey games do you watch?
Well, I probably watch live, 18 to 22 games per month. You know, what I really do is I watch the Red Wings. I go to Grand Rapids and I try to watch all the kids that we own. And then, you know, I've got the hockey package and I watch lots and lots of games on TV.
Last question of the year on this show. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight, Ken Allen?
Well, I think get educated, get to school. You know, I've got four children. And you know, you got to get grade 12. You got to ideally get four more years of college education. If you can go beyond that and get the more education you can get, the better you are. And I also would think find something you love in life. You know, find a passion. So when you go to work, it's not work. You know, find something that you love and make sure you work hard. You finish it off. Jimmy D told me when I became the Western Scout, he said, work hard. Know your business and get along with people, and our chances are you're going to have success in life.
You know, you give credit to Jimmy D, Stevie, Mr. I. One of the few bright spots in this town these last few years has been our sports team. And arguably, the brightest has been the Red Wings. And you've played a huge role in that. So thanks for the humility, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Jack.
Our guest next Sunday will be the president of Hillsdale College, and America's leading expert on Winston Churchill, Dr. Larry Arnn. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Happy New Year.